Determination and persistence and rebounding from rejection, those are the keys to getting where you need to go in this world as an author.
Welcome to Literary Gumbo 2.0. Each episode explores the world of writing, publishing, and book marketing. I'm your host, Lisa Engel. The right angle to help you write and sell your story. Sit back and enjoy.
I am here today with Caitlin Rother, rhymes with author. I first met her about 8 years ago, I think, when she spoke at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. And she's going to be speaking again this June 13th, again at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, down by the beach at the Mare Monte Hotel. And so I thought I would catch up with her and see what she's doing lately. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you have been recognized for your investigative journalism, and you have 14 books that you have written and co-authored. Did you always know that you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I've always enjoyed writing, and I've been writing stories since I was a little girl. Back in the first grade, I remember we had an assignment in class to create our own book. And with colored pencils, I drew the pictures about a little family of mice that lived in the forest. And my mother was very concerned because I killed off the mother of the mice family. So I said, well, it just seems like there's no story unless somebody dies. So that's how it all got started. I don't know. I didn't really know that I was going to be a writer, but I've always been writing stories. And I was an only child and not very social. I was very shy and introverted. And I would tell myself stories, you know, and I would have voices that I would do to myself, you know, to keep myself busy. And because I read a million books, that's what I did. So.
And a lot of those, when we're kids, a lot of those fairy tales are, I mean, if you watch Disney, yeah, somebody has to die.
Well, some of those fairy tales, like Grimm's fairy tales, you know, those things are dark, really dark. Yeah.
But then you didn't go to school for journalism until after you graduated.
Right. When I was in college at Berkeley, I worked for the school newspaper, and I also had an internship at a radio station. And so I got into journalism. I took a class in journalism. I took fiction writing. I mean, I took everything I could. I had a very broad education at Berkeley in all kinds of things. So it was a great place to go because there were so many choices. But I didn't really think about journalism because I didn't want to go live in a small town. And that's pretty much what I heard is when you start out in journalism way back when, you are expected to go to the middle of nowhere and pay your dues and work your way up. And so I eventually did do that. But yes, I was working in corporate communications, which I absolutely hated. And I said, I got to get out of this. I'm going to go to journalism school because I thought the degree would help me. And so I ended up in the middle of nowhere, just like I said, I didn't want to. And I actually got fired from my first journalism job because they're like, you know, you just don't have it. And so I had to show them I did. And I didn't miss a day of work. I went to the next job. They said, oh, you should just be in TV, which, you know, they thought was kind of an insult. But here we are years later and I'm on 2020 and I've got, you know, almost 15 books now. So I think the laugh is on them. Determination and persistence and rebounding from rejection. Those are the keys to getting where you need to go in this world as an author.
That's definitely the truth. Yeah. So how did your first book come about?
Well, I was working at the San Diego Union-Tribune. Most of what I covered during my career, I spent 19 years as an investigative newspaper reporter at mostly major metropolitan daily newspapers, was government. I covered government and politics. And so people think, oh, she was a crime writer, but I wasn't. I covered incompetence and negligence and stupidity and people who lied and, you know, went bankrupt and people still elected them, even though I wrote these investigative stories. It made me a little crazy. So after covering government and politics and getting so disheartened by people kept electing these people who were not qualified, in my opinion, and even when I wrote these stories exposing all that, they still got elected, and, you know, which takes us to this election, still happening. But I got sick of that. And I said, you know, I started getting more interested in crime writing. So on the Saturday shift, I would ask for the police beat that day. And if there was a murder, I'd write about murder on a Saturday. And that's kind of how I got into it. But to get my first book, I was working at county government, the beat, and I was no longer covering that. I was doing some kind of free floating fill in for everybody on the government team and enterprise team. And I got a tip that this county toxicologist had been arrested for murder. And so I started covering the Kristen Rossum story from day one. It was my story. I broke the story. Turns out she was arrested for killing her husband, and she was accused of stealing drugs from the medical examiner's office where she worked and using them to poison him. And she claimed he, you know, had killed himself because he was depressed and upset that she was leaving him for her boss, who was also married. So anyway, it was a great story. And I wrote 50 stories for the paper. I wrote a story for Cosmopolitan, which ran in their international editions. And once that was over, I was allowed by my paper to pursue a book deal. I wrote a book proposal, which was rejected by a bunch of places, but I got it accepted and took 6 months off, unpaid, took a big risk, and it's actually sold better than any of my other books. It is my best-selling book. That's how I got started. I loved it. I got addicted to writing books because I'm, you know, it's journalism, but it's long-form journalism. So you can just go, you know, the problem with journalism, and especially even more so today, is that, you know, shorter, shorter, shorter. There's no room. You know, the papers have gotten smaller and smaller and thinner until they're like a pamphlet. But so that's why I really enjoyed it, because I got to really dig in to the investigative side of the job, which I love. And then I got to write scenes, you know, so I write narrative nonfiction so that it reads like a novel, but it's all true.
Well, and you had to write a book proposal, which for nonfiction, that's just like standard.
Right.
But a lot of people have, they find that kind of hard. Did you find writing that, and you said it was rejected a few times, did you find yourself going back and revising it, or did you have to struggle a lot over that book proposal?
Well, book proposals are hard to write, but once you get the hang of it, I mean, I've written more than 20, 25, and I work as a writing coach now, and help other authors write book proposals, because most of my book proposals have sold and are books. And when I've helped my clients, their book proposals have sold also. So, you know, I took a class for it. And the funny thing is, it's fine to take a class. It's fine to read a book on how to write a book proposal, but the real world is different. So I submitted it to an agent and she had me rewrite the whole thing like three times. And I stuck with the format that she had me use, and it's worked and I've stuck with it. So she was right. And she didn't end up taking me on, but I did get an agent. And then from there, I've had probably five agents. I think I'm on my fifth agent by now, but you know, it's not that hard once you get the hang of it, but it's really important. It's the marketing vehicle to sell your idea. So, you know, it's a different kind of writing than your book.
Yes. Yeah. I know, even like writing query letters, I've written
query letters for fiction, and it's like,
you know, that you is have hard. To,
yeah.
So it's harder to write the synopsis than it is to write the book. Seriously, I think. Yeah,
definitely. So you were very successful with your first book.
Yes.
So how did you get into the second book? And
well, okay. So my first book, Poison Love, I was just so happy writing that. I remember I was just, God, this is so much fun. This is so great, even though I'm not making any money and I'm taking this risk. And my advance was teeny, right? So the great thing was I went to a second printing within, like, I don't know, a few weeks. And back in those days, true crime sold a lot more than it does now. And that's what part of what makes makes life for true crime writers harder and harder is there's so much on TV. There's so many podcasts that people feel like they already know the story, and there's just fewer and fewer people who buy the book, unfortunately. And a lot of the TV shows and the podcasts use your book as the material, don't give you any credit, and you don't get paid. So it's frustrating. But this, my first book that I ever wrote was fiction. And it's Naked Addiction. And it's what I actually wanted to do, was to write crime fiction. So I couldn't get it published, though, because it's very difficult, and even more so today, to get your first fiction book published. It's just difficult. So I was a professional nonfiction writer, journalist. And so I thought, well, okay, the universe is telling me that I probably should get published in what I actually have a job in. And so, you know, and I learned how to do narrative nonfiction at the paper. I would write long narrative journalism stories that took up, you know, 100 inches in the paper, where you're basically telling a story through characters and scenes and, you know, dialogue, is just like you would in a book. And so I was able to kind of transfer those skills. I was writing fiction on the weekend and trying to get it published. And it took me, 17 years to get my first novel published. And so it's kind of interesting, though, because in this last year, I've been rewriting the second book. So the sequel to that book has a detective, a surfing detective, who is named Ken Good. And I kind of, this is kind of funny given what's going on these days, but kind of Ken, like Barbie and Ken, I kind of thought of him like a really smart, educated New York Times Albert Camus reading detective, right? Who's sarcastic and smart and good and a good person, right? So because of nonfiction, it's so all-encompassing and the research takes so much time and takes all of my brain, I really couldn't get back to the fiction. Because you really need to get into the fiction and have enough time to keep with it. And I really haven't had that luxury. So during COVID, when I lost one of my book contracts because they lost their funding, I got back into writing the next book in what I wanted to be a series, but because it had been so long since the first book, you have to write it as a standalone. So that's what I did. And I worked on it for a long time, and it went through a couple agents who said it needed work. And so I did for the, you know, I did worked on it again, completely rewrote it, overhauled it a few times. And so that's what I've been working on. And then while I sent it to my agent, it's been still with my agent. I haven't heard a decision yet whether he's going to send it out or if he thinks it needs more work too. I have written a sequel to that one. So I wrote that really quickly because I did the NaNoWriMo thing, and I wrote a whole book in less than 2.5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And yep. I hurt my wrist. So now I can't type at all. I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm typing. Yes. So I'm reading it aloud because it's still too long anyway. And so I'm editing. I'm still kind of working, but I have to read it aloud, which is good because you need to do that anyway.
Do you think you'll narrate the audiobook?
No, I actually have a great narrator who did the audiobook for the first one. And I need to keep him if I can. If I change publishers, I'm hoping to bring him with me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's actually not that common for an author to narrate their own book. The publishers want a professional actress or actor to do that usually. So unless you're really big, you know, which I'm not.
So you did NaNoWriMo, but do you, in general, do you have like a writing routine that you stick to?
Not really, because it really depends on what I'm working on. So if I'm under contract with a nonfiction book, there'll be months where I won't be writing at all, just doing research. And then there are some months where I'll be doing research and writing, and then there'll be months where I'll be doing just writing, and then there'll be months where I'm doing just rewriting. All crammed into, 9 months to a year. So it just depends on where I am in the process. And then there's revisions and copy editing and galley proofs and, writing another book proposal and writing fiction and doing events and planning a book tour and redoing your website and doing podcasts. And so no, I don't just write every day. But I am at the computer every day. Unless I can't type, so.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I wrote a novel and self-published it, and then I'm trying to work on the sequel, and I've had a lot of plot adjustments to work on. So it's just, and then of course, like you said, there's all sorts of other business stuff comes in that we'll be
Right.
making, and so it's really when you're talking about writing fiction, sometimes it can be hard to get back into it. At least
Well,
that's what.
for the past year, that's all I've been doing pretty much is writing fiction because my next book, which is Down to the Bone on the murder of the MacStay family, was supposed to come out in January. So I had planned to do a giant book tour. At this point, I was supposed to be on the book tour, but my publisher delayed it, and so now it has a pub date in October. So I did not line up another nonfiction book. So I said to myself, hey, you know what? I'm going to write fiction. I'm going to give myself this time to write fiction. I was also hoping to be working on a screenplay. My most recent book, Death on Ocean Boulevard, which is the one that's going to be featured at the conference, has been optioned for a TV series. And so they're still in development. The option has been renewed because we got, in the middle of this writers in the actors strike, which totally screwed everything up and postponed everything. And, we kind of lost our momentum there. But once that gets going, I'm, going to be involved in that. And I wanted to be learning script writing so that I could potentially adapt my other books to limited series or movies or what have you. And that was going to be my hopefully next part of my career as I'm continually having to evolve and change with the incredible shrinking media and the incredible shrinking publishing world and all of the changes that requires and reinventions. And at the same time, the development production company is also trying to get me a podcast deal. Where it would be a seasonal and episodic kind of way of reusing the material from my books. But I have a lot of material that didn't even get into the books. I have audio interviews and other things that wouldn't go into a book. They would only be suited for a, sound format. So, I mean, I've got a bunch of irons in the fire, all different kinds of stuff that I can be doing with the same set of skills. Because, I do TV as well. I've been on 2020 twice recently. I just had a conversation yesterday with a producer in England, who wants me to do a show actually on my first book. So they still are looking for stories and they can't find new ones. So they go back 20 years to the stories that have been done already. It's kind of funny. But that's actually a whole other line of skills that I've developed by being an author. So podcasts, TV, radio, all kinds of things, blogging and coaching and teaching and all these things are all related to being an author, and you need all those income streams to keep you going. So.
Yes. And the TV deal and the screenwriting, that sounds very exciting. And
yeah, and the producer is actually also reading my fiction that I've been working on. So she's interested in that as well. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's great. It's like, I know, you know, to bring it back to the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, the founder, Barnaby Conrad, he wrote the best-selling book in the around 1950, Matador. And I think over the course of the rest of his life, it was optioned for film like several times.
Yeah.
So he made a lot of money on that, but they never made the film. So
that is not unusual. Yeah, it is, you know, just because your book is optioned does not mean it gets to TV. Everyone's like, oh, when can we watch that? I'm like, let's hire some writers first and as showrunner. let's get there first.
So when you submit things and they get, you know, sent back to you, and when a deal falls through, and that must be kind of crushing. how do you handle that?
Well, I'll tell you what, the past year has been, I've been tested mightily. The delays in the book for the McStay book, that's been very frustrating for me, because I can't do anything until that gets, you know, out of the, I've been having to wait. It was in legal review for a long time, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't set up a book tour. I couldn't promote it. I just had to wait. And so then I did the fiction. And so then I had to wait for the agent to get back to me. So there's been a lot of waiting, and that is not unusual right now. Everybody's backed up. The actors and writers strike really screwed up a lot of things. So did COVID. And it's completely changed again, and made more dysfunctional an already, you know, pretty difficult industry. So, you know, agents are tired. Their submissions are completely backed up. And apparently so are the editors. There are fewer editors. The agents are tired. I mean, it's just a difficult time to get something published. And so the big writers who are already big, they're doing okay, but the mid-list authors like me and the newbies who are trying to break in, it's much more difficult. And you know, I've got a lot of books. It's not like I haven't been successful so far. I have been, and I keep getting book contracts. So I mean, when I write a nonfiction book proposal, it generally sells. There have been a couple that haven't, but the vast majority of them have. So it's just that it's gotten really difficult also to write nonfiction and the kind of nonfiction that I write, because true crime, like I said, there's so much of it on TV and these podcasts that the market is saturated. But also, you know, the resources for research are also less. So I'm lucky. I have good sources. I've managed to get, you know, entire sheriff's investigative files through the discovery process. There's somebody involved in the case. But if you don't get that, you got to go to the court. I've gone to some of these courts and I'd open up the file and there's nothing in it. Back when I was a newspaper reporter, it'd be packed with stuff. But we have these new laws and a governor who thinks that rehabilitation is really important. And so the people who have criminal convictions and criminal pasts, once they get out, there's a time limit now where that information is in the file and then it's taken out. So I went back like a year later to go look at something that I had looked at a year later and it a year before, and it was gone. Everything that I wanted to look at was gone. So it's even more difficult to write my primary genre that I've been working in for all these years. So I'm kind of having to rejigger where I'm going and what I'm going to be doing in all those different ways. So, and then there's TikTok. So don't even get me started on how much time that takes. And that intimidates me. And Congress is trying to ban it anyway. So, you know.
So you are on TikTok?
I am on TikTok, but I haven't really made use of anything because it's so time consuming, and I've tried doing one of those little things, and I'm just not good at it. I need an assistant. I need somebody who's young and good at that.
But you do coaching yourself. What kind of things do you do help authors with?
Well, I'm really good, I think, at developmental shaping. So editing on the front end, helping somebody kind of shape an idea, helping somebody sell their book proposal. So putting the book proposal together, which to, you know, and this is also how they write the book. So if they come to me early enough, I will help them figure out what needs to be in the book and how to create a narrative structure and how to tell a story. And how to do research, because research is my big thing. I'm a research consultant also, so I get hired sometimes just to do research for people, for very personal or professional reasons. So I can teach, I can help people with writing, I can help people with research, help people with book proposals, help people to, you know, shape their book ideas. They'll come to me and they'll say, I have an idea for a book, and I'll say, tell me about it. And then I'll help them shape it and what they need to do next.
So adapting and pivoting and stay patience,
Yes.
all those things are things that we need. Are there any other parting advice that you have for authors out there?
If you're like me and you feel like you have a calling, I mean, I wanted more than anything to have a book published. And it took me, I think it was 17 years to get my novel published. It took me 15 years to get my first book published. So I had been trying to get published for 15 years when I got the Poison Love deal. And I can't tell you how much I was ecstatic when I got that first contract. I was like beyond ecstatic. And it was addictive, and I kept at it. And, you know, even though things are hard and they continue to be hard, there still isn't anything else that I can see myself doing. And so it doesn't pay very much. But like I said, you have all these other things that you end up developing as other income streams. Some people don't quit their day job, which is my advice, until you really have a, you know, in you're into the groove and you know you're going to get more contracts. You know, don't quit your day job. People say, well, I don't have time and I don't have the energy to write. I'm like, well, I worked at the newspaper and then I wrote around the time that I was at work, is before work, after work, on the weekends. So you have two jobs. I did that for a number of years. And then once you are an author, you still have to bust your butt to be promoting and marketing and blogging. I don't know so much now, but you know, newsletters or podcasts or whatever it is that you're going to do to promote yourself, because the books don't sell themselves. So it's a lot of work, and you, but if you really believe in it and you really want to do it, you do it, because the problem is if people who give up too soon, you know, the overnight success, 20, 30 years, you know, look at Robert Downey Jr. When did he say 40 years? He's been an actor before he won his first Academy Award. I mean, that's literally, you know, not everybody's Meryl Streep, you know? So, and that's the same thing with being an author. It's a lot of hard work and determination, rejection, rebounding from rejection, and persistence. And you got to get up every day and keep going, because the day you quit, that's the day that you're not going to get there.
That's true. And it this is so it sounds like things are changing in your career and developing every day, every week. And so we've got a couple of months until you speak on June 13th at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. So I'm sure that
Things could change again.
I'm sure you'll have a lot of news and updates for people then. So
Probably. Yes.
And
And I hope to have good news.
I'm sure you will. Well, thank you so much for all that. I think this has been very encouraging
Oh,
to
good, because I was worried that I didn't want to be Debbie Downer, so.
No, I think it's been very encouraging, and people really do need to, I mean, speaking of writers' conferences, I've heard that there are people who will go to a writers' conference and they'll be there for a couple of days and they'll say, nobody wants to publish my work now. I'm going to leave. So,
and, well, then they're not going to get anywhere because, you know, you get kicked to the curb about a million times and you just got to get up again. That's it. You just got to brush yourself off and go, okay, either I don't trust or believe what that person said, I believe in this, or he's right or she's right, and I do need to do more work. And then you use that to improve.
Yes. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person in June.
Me too. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.